It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 382, entitled I Only Do Puns on Porpoise. It was recorded on Monday, the 3rd of August, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by my co-host Michelle Frechette and guests Alex Standiford and Cammy McNamara. It is a WordPress podcast, and so we spend quite a lot of time talking about WordPress, of course, but before that, we spend a bit of time talking about marketing. Cammy brings a few stories to bear all in the marketing space and gives us ideas for how we can sink and not swim in what feels like choppy waters in the WordPress space at the moment. And then we are on to more WordPress specific things. We talk about 7.1 and the Source of Truth document. We talk about a new initiative being run called Aardvark with three A's. It's going to be a community to help people with their accessibility needs. We talk a little bit about the new Min Admin, which is being created by Austin Ginder with a load of help from AI to revamp and revitalize the WordPress admin. It looks like a really nice project. We then talk about WordCamps and why you may or may not attend. That's informed by a story which we bring to bear from WordCamp India. Then WordPress educational initiatives come under the spotlight and we talk about their recent success. And yes, it really does look like success. Then we're on to some tools and some new plugins. One of them connects to Brix and Elementor to help you and your clients figure out whether the site is what they want. And then desktop mode gets me rather excited and you will be able to detect why. It's such an interesting idea. And then some errata at the end. And that's what we've got for you this time around. I hope that you enjoy it. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. Well, there's a surprise. That actually worked out. I've no idea what's going on. In this platform, you have little icons, you know, little thumbnail images of the video that you intend to play, and none of them match what they're supposed to play. So that's why we got that weird video at the beginning. So apologies about that, but I found the right one by accident in the end. So we're all good. Here we are, episode number 382 of This Week in WordPress. We do this every week, unless, you know, I'm on holiday or not very well or something like that. And it's been going, what would that be? That's getting on for like 6 years or something, I guess. Yeah. I think, gosh, yeah, it's a long time. And I can never do it by myself. Well, I could do it by myself, but it would be so bad. It's so bad. So I'm joined by people to help make the whole thing more pleasurable. And each week we're joined by two or three fabulous guests. And this week you can see them are surrounding me. Let's start over there with Michelle Frechette. How are you doing, Michelle? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much.
I'm glad to hear it. So Michelle Frechette is the Executive Director of Post Status. She also is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers, WP Career Pages, and co-founder of Sponsor Me WP Speed Network Online. She likes to write. She's an influencer and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and tech events. She lives outside of Rochester, New York, where she likes to take photography, likes to take photographs, I guess, of nature. And if you want the one URL which sums Michelle up, it's meetmichelle.online. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us once again, appreciate it. Okay, let's go there. It's Cammy. Hello, Cammy.
Good morning.
Indeed, it's brutal o'clock where
it is. Okay, I just realized I didn't put my headphones
it's
on,
all good.
And it's because I woke up at like 4:50, so
detecting no sort of feedback or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay, so good.
We're in good shape. Yeah, good. You sound absolutely great. Yeah, I think it's just about 6:07 at the moment where Cammy is.
Yeah, it is. You know, and the light comes in pretty early here. Uh-huh. So, you know.
Well, we're going to watch the sunrise.
Yeah.
I'll wake up soon. I have lots of caffeine on my desk.
That's the way to do it. You'll become more animated as the episode goes.
Yes, that's right.
So let's introduce Cammy. So Cammy McNamara, also known as Web Cammy with an I, not a Y, has been running Web Cammy LLC for 24 years. Blimey, Cammy. Congratulations.
I know. That's a long time.
Yeah, isn't it? That's amazing. working with small businesses and nonprofits on WordPress and Squarespace websites in Seattle, Washington. After more than two decades in business, she shares what she's learned through the Web Designer Habits newsletter, alongside doing the WebCammy podcast and WebCammy YouTube channel. Her content focuses on simple habits, better client processes, and the day-to-day reality of running a small web design business. If you want the URL, it is webdesignerhabits.com, webdesignerhabits, and also being sported underneath Cammy's name on the screen as well. So thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. And last but
happy
by no means
least.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Last but by no means least, I can see you're in the Google Doc amending your bio.
I'm not. I was just, you know, making sure it's there.
Yeah, it is definitely there. It's Alex Sandiford. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, Alex, look, I mean, if you can see the screen, Alex, oh, look at that. Oh, yep. Super pro, Alex.
Thanks.
What the heck?
Thanks. Yeah, well, I had to, you know, make up for the fact that I'm always late for every podcast ever by having a halfway decent background.
Seriously, that looks really, really nice. I'm not just saying that. There is just something. I know it's got like an old, like, library vibe to it. I don't know if that's what you were going for, but what I'm picking up.
For sure. Like, everything on the shelf has a reason for being there too.
It looks like something from the 1800s, like a miscellaneous selection of things, like telescopes and bookends and.
It looks like things you'd find in the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
It's all semi-nautical themed, obviously.
Of course it is.
Siren and
Siren,
notorious
Siren. Yeah. It. I went to see The Odyssey last week, by the way, and highly recommend it. The Siren bit, actually, is just sort of more, it's kind of glossed over. They don't do a lot on that. But the film itself is pretty cool. Anyway.
I think a copy of it's on the bookshelf.
Already?
It's right here, actually. Funny enough.
Yay. Alex Sandiford is a longtime WordPress developer and the founder of Siren. Don't ask him what it does, because it gives him an existential crisis of his own. He tries to answer that directly. Alex is a longtime WordPress community member. He spends his time thinking about open source partner marketing and how to run a simple family hobby into a fully researched procurement operation. He runs Linux. You do? You run? Oh, you mean you have Linux running?
No, I literally am running it. I'm on a treadmill right now, keeping my steams running.
I'll read that again. He runs Linux, owns two miniature, I don't even know what that is, Bernie Doodle?
A Bernie mix.
Okay. Bernie Doodle poppies, because apparently one poppy wasn't enough chaos. I would love a poppy. But I would love it to remain a puppy. and he's also built an external digital brain, because the internal one had too many tabs open. You should go and check out the episode I did with Alex, actually. It genuinely was really interesting. If you've got like your tendrils into AI a little bit, I reckon it's fair to say you probably don't have your tendrils in as far as Alex does. It's pretty profound. And it woke me up to what was possible. I didn't even know. Oh, and he's gone. He's clicked refresh.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know any of that was possible. Let's hope his tech comes back. If he does, I'll let him back in. But anyway, there we go. 382. Thanks for joining us. A few quick bits of housekeeping, if that's all right with you. The first thing to say is the easiest place to access what we do is on our live page, which is that wpbuilds.com/live. If you go over there, we've got YouTube comments on the right, but also if you don't have a Google account, there's a box inside the video player marked live chat, and you can use that. Basically, unless you're using YouTube comments or that live chat facility, I won't see them. They don't get sucked into this platform. So I always have a little poke around, and occasionally we get a comment somewhere else, and I always feel pretty bad that we didn't raise it on the screen or whatever, but I just can't keep track of the 7 or 8 platforms that this goes out on. So apologies about that, but go there, go to wpbuilds.com/live. And he's back. I don't know why I'm there, but
I stopped running.
Yeah. Yeah. Linux went down. The whole kernel collapsed.
Yeah. I had a good run.
But anyway, there we go. Go to that URL. And as always, the whole episode is so much more pleasurable when we get people dropping in live. Love it when you come in live. Absolutely love it. And here we go. Here's a few people. So Imran from the UK, he says, I need to record a video for tomorrow, and I just created the most amazing new tool. But first, I'll wait until my weekly dose of WP builds first. Put it on in the background, Imran. I think I've muted in the background. You have free ad for WP builds. No, don't do that. Good morning from Rockville MD. I don't recognize that handle. J'aime Quirios, I think that says. I'm sorry. Elliot, stay tuned. Well done, by the way. If you don't know what that means, Elliot, you'll find out in a little while. And Lana's joining us as well. God, people from all over the place. This is lovely. And Courtney as well. Alex. Don't know what's going on with Alex, but he's gone again. Second brain is so helpful. Yeah, I agree. And do you know what Alex has done, Courtney? Because if you haven't, go and check out the podcast. It's truly freaky the amount that he's done. It's really rather incredible. So go check that out. Right, last couple. Let's go for these ones. So it's Elliot Richmond. Hi, Elliot. Liked your video with Ryan Welcher. That was nice. Currently sweltering in 32 degrees office. It's like 19 where I am. It's nothing like that. I'm sorry to hear that. Good day, friends. And we've got Anne Bovlett saying hello as well. Right. Okay. Let's get on to the WordPressy bits and pieces. And then if Alex comes, we'll try. There he is. He's back.
I just thought the tyrants dragged him away.
I think it would be hysterical.
Worried, actually. I don't know why it's
happening throughout the show.
I don't know why he's doing that.
Are you in a Chromium browser? Because I know you've got a penchant for like all open sourcey things, and maybe it's Firefox. Firefox is so unreliable with this platform. So
it was funny is I'm actually running this on a MacBook because of the issues that I was running into with Linux. Anyway, hopefully it's
not. Sorry, I don't know. Go back to Linux, quick. It's where you belong. Okay, so a couple of bits of self-promotion, one of them slightly weird. So I normally mention this one. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. We post the latest episodes at the top here, so you can see that I did an episode with Anne McCarthy, who's the release lead for 7.1, and Birgit Pauli-Hack, who's from the Gutenberg Times and Gutenberg Changelog. And we talked about what's coming in 7.1, and it was really very interesting. So go and check that out. If you like the archives, they're all here and here in this archives menu. Go and look at those. But if you want to put your email address into there, we'll send you a couple of emails each week. That's basically all that we'll do. No spam, just the content that comes out of this episode and the podcast episode that's coming up on Thursday. So this is the weird bit. It's not just me, a very dear friend of mine, Dan Maybe, has been working very hard in the background, and I've been just basically telling him what to do. He's cleverer than I am by a country mile, and so he's been enacting upon it. And together we've built a podcast platform. And I won't give you a lot of detail about it because I don't know what's going to land and what's not going to land. But basically, it does a ton. And if you've got any intuition of running a podcast, or you think that you might be into running a podcast at any point, you should check it out. We're going to have some interesting launch pricing. Let's just put it that way. And I am mentioning this as just a way, really, of we want to get some founding partners on board who will give us feedback, really, you know, what's working, what's not working, and what have you. And I'm using my personal website, nathanwrigley.com, and then /podcast-app-interest. So it's nathanwrigley.com/podcast-app-interest. And there's only one mandatory field. You've got to put your email address in. That's all I want from you. And we'll be in touch. And it's pretty cool. And we're a few weeks out. I'm not one for hyperbole, really, on the whole, but I actually think we've got something pretty good. Alex has had a look. You've had a look, haven't you, Alex?
I did. Yeah. It looks really cool. I signed up. I filled out the form too, because I was like,
I saw that. Sorry, Michelle. I've forgotten who I've showed it to, in all honesty.
I think I filled out the form. Didn't I?
Yeah. You probably, and so did Cammy. Oh, you're all so great. you're all my best friends. But if you want to be alerted, and I don't know what it means yet, because we haven't even worked that bit out, but you'll definitely get, like, you know, in on the beginning foot, and if you want to take the sort of founding pricing that will be available, that would help us out. We're doing it a bit like a Kickstarter in that I think we want a bunch of founding partners to jump on board to help us steer the project. It's built. It's like fully ready to go. We're just bug testing it. So in that sense, it's not like a Kickstarter because you're not funding development. The development already happened. But what we do want to do is onboard a bunch of people who would give us advice and give us tips. And so once again, it's for podcasters, really. And it's nathanwrigley.com/podcast-app-interest. Go check it out. Sorry for the promotional bit.
I did the same strategy as this whenever I launched Siren, and
it was
great because I had several people giving me initial feedback and stuff like that. So it's a really great way to handle it.
Well, but what's weird for me and what I've always found difficult is I've built this thing, this WP build thing, and obviously it's WP, it's all WordPress. So I always feel a bit weird smuggling non-WordPressy stuff in. but then I think, well,
it's adjacent.
Yeah, it is. It's very adjacent. Yeah, right. And we've got a WordPress plugin and all sorts that will help you make a podcast on a WordPress website. Actually, you're right, Michelle. Forget that. It's fine. It's totally all right. So go check it out. But anyway,
Nathan's, promotion. Go on, Nathan's like apologizing for promoting something after doing a podcast for 6 years.
Yeah, you're right. I've got to get over that. I really have to get over that. I'm not very good at marketing, as you can tell. Anyway, there we go. So, right, moving on. What we do each week is in some shared show notes, we offer the guests the opportunity to drop in some articles that they perhaps thought were interesting over the week. And this week, Cammy's dropped a bunch in. I think there's a bit of a theme going on here in terms of marketing and things like that. But I'll do them in the order that you drop them into the Google Doc, if that's all right, Cammy. So, and I'll let you take the lead on them, if you will.
Okay.
I'll just introduce them. Here's the repository. So this is Ray, and it's called Jamie Marsland Among Educators Leading WordCamp US 2026 Beginner Workshops. What have you got for us, Cammy?
Well, this took me back to when I went to my first WordCamps and here in Seattle, and we used to have workshops at our WordCamps. And as a new web designer, I found them new WordPress web designer, I found them incredibly helpful. And I'm not attending this year's WordCamp US, but I'm very excited for the new people that are going to attend, because this is just a really great way to get some hands-on learning, like just to learn things while you're there that's a little deeper than having a talk. So right. I was excited to see this. And I think it's a great tool. I remember back in like 2017, I attended a workshop that Jennifer Bourne did at WordCamp Seattle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I still use things I learned from that talk and that workshop. It was just a really good setup. So I think this is a great move.
I'm going to just quickly flip, although we'll come back to it later probably. And I'm just trying to see if I can find the right piece. It's kind of towards the end here. Where's it gone? No. Apologies for this. Yeah, so this one, which we won't go into now, is entitled Why It Took Me 16 Years to Contribute to WordPress. And one of the things that came out of this piece, which I said, again, we'll get into in a bit, is just that whole imposter syndrome thing of kind of showing up and not really knowing what your place is and where you fit into the jigsaw puzzle. And so I think if you can drop in and your whole intention for one day is just to go and learn how to use WordPress, that kind of gets you out of jail free, doesn't it? You've got a purpose. You've gone there to do this thing. You don't necessarily have to do anything else apart from that. You know, you don't have to feel that you've got to be a developer or any of that.
Meet other people at your level.
Yep.
Of learning. And so I think that's exciting.
Yeah. So also there's a few nice little things in here, which I didn't know about. So anyway, it's called the Beginning WP 101 track. Jamie's doing one, but then there's some other people doing it. And I am so bad at names. Katarzyna Krauka. And Christina Hills and Stephen Ryan, they're all doing their own thing as well. And if you go, you can claim a free domain and a year of hosting courtesy of Automattic, who apparently, check this out, They've pledged $500 million worth of hosting over the next 5 years to support open source learning. So you can get a free domain and a year of hosting if you show up and presumably get, I don't know, maybe there's, you know, you've got to get through the day or something like that.
Yeah. But,
you think they could get me alex.com?
Oh, if they, that'd be so nice. That would be. Have you tried to get alex.com ever?
It's so much worse than that. I have a monitor set up that basically just says, if this ever goes free and it's less than this, just buy it now.
It's going to go free in like the year 3008 or something like that.
Yeah, my great-great-grandson is going to get it. He's like, what is the domain?
It'll be for milliseconds. I've got one of those services as well. I can't remember what they're called. Domain Catcher or something like that.
I don't even know.
I've actually succeeded with one of those in the past. But it turned out I'd never wanted the domain anyway, so I got it. And then as soon as I got it, I realized I'd forgotten to switch it off when the project that I was going for. But they capture it in like, I don't know, it's like 1 millisecond or something, don't they? They're constantly pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was our first piece, courtesy of, Alex and Michelle, was there anything you wanted to add about that WordPress? No.
The only thing for me is, like Cammy mentioned, people at your level is a big thing. I think about how many people that I met at WordCamp that was just getting started in WordPress. And then, I met them over several WordCamps over the years. And all of a sudden, one day, that person who was just getting started in WordPress suddenly is, you know, like some vice president at some company. And it happens. It takes time, but it happens. And all of a sudden, you're able to have conversations with the people that you're probably wanting to have conversations with.
It took me a few years too. So it wasn't until I was in Nashville for WordCamp US, the second time in Nashville, that I was like, well, I'm here on Sunday. I may as well, you know, start to contribute. And I was terrified. And I'd been part of WordPress for a while by then. So
yeah. So I, this morning, by pure coincidence, was editing a podcast episode, which is going to go out on the Tavern on Wednesday, and it's by a Costa Rican lady called Priscilla. And she was talking about exactly this thing, about that whole thing about turning up to WordPress and having that imposter syndrome. And honestly, the level it's at, it's so easy to forget how intimidating tech is. Like, but you're all four of us are in it every day, right? And we know that things can't break, or at least if we break them, there's usually a recycle or an undo button, or it's not actually broken. You just kind of think it's broken. But she was really strongly making the point that, and she runs this this service, which is like a mixture of counseling and tech teaching. And there are people for whom getting over the idea of installing a plugin, that is a massive win for them. You know, they've installed a plugin. That was something that they thought was impossible and the realm of developers. I know that sounds weird, right, to the audience of this. But she just kept just hammering on that point. Like, WordPress is really intimidating if you come to it for the first time. It's hard. The community, whilst we think it's very open, if you go and stand in the back and you're very shy, well, you might stand at the back for the whole day and never get spoken to. That is plausible. And so, yeah, I think things like this, getting back to the piece at hand that Cammy brought to bear.
Except it's not about not knowing the tech. It's about looking stupid in front of your peers.
Right.
At least that's what it was for me, right? Like, I'm going to sit down at a table and they're going to look at me like, I thought you understood WordPress.
I agree. Anyway, there you go. So Jamie's going to be doing one, and it sounds like there'll be various others as well. Okay, so we'll move on and do the other ones that Cammy's brought to bear. And they sort of follow a theme. They're mainly to do with marketing, but we'll start here. This is Spark Toro, and I think is that Rand Fishkin?
Rand Fishkin.
And this one's called 7 Reasons Every Marketing Team Could Monitor Brand Mentions. I don't know if you want to go through all of these in the same,
I can do this really quick. So I thought I'd focus on people I know in the Seattle area. Well, partially. But I've noticed a lot on in my own Facebook group and in the admin bar, people are really nervous about business right now. And so this, I thought, was a good tip to monitor what people are saying about you and your business online outside of just reviews. So there's a free account that you can set up. It's something that Rand has started called Alert Mouse, and it will monitor your brand so you can find out what people are saying, correct it, that type of thing.
Okay.
And so I think as business owners, we're all like, as web design business owners, we're all concerned about our clients' businesses, but we don't really think about our business as much. And in a time when, you know, it kind of feels like things are kind of falling back a little bit in terms of inquiries, or at least that's what I'm seeing online. This is just another way to make sure that your brand is being mentioned properly.
Okay. So Alert Mouse, I guess, is the takeaway from that.
And you
one.
Can sign up for a free account and it'll monitor your brand. Nice. So, and Rand Fishkin is great to follow online. He has lots of good tips.
He's everywhere. He's one of these people that, even though I don't follow him, he somehow manages to get into all my social feeds, which tells me he's doing something right.
He was the founder of SEO Moz. That's right. So
he's got a lot of a track record, hasn't he? Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. And okay.
So the next one is a friend of mine here in Seattle, Kane Jameson of Content Harmony. And a fun fact, I went to my first WordCamp to watch him speak because we were in a business group together. And so anyway, he's just talking about your newsletter. And I wanted to remind web designers that your own newsletter outreach to your customers is one of the best ways to get new business. I offered an AI summer camp to my clients and just offered a free 15-minute meeting to talk to them about AI and how they might use it to write blog posts and things like that. And this is a really good just reminder of, you know, dip back into the well, go to the clients who know you, and make sure you're putting yourself in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So many tools out there as well. I use a WordPress plugin called Newsletter Glue, which I highly recommend. I think the pricing has gone fairly astronomical since I bought it from Leslie Sim. She sold it. The pricing's gone up, but it's a great way of using a WordPress post to then immediately send a variant of a newsletter. But yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just remembering to do that is important.
Yeah. Okay. Alex, Michelle, anything on that one, or should we move on to Cammie's, I think, last piece? Maybe not.
I think
related to the email marketing and sending follow-ups and things like that, this has been a big thing that's been on my mind for my own agency, because I have seen that cliff, a big drop-off of new clients coming to me looking specifically for WordPress work. And I think that the big thing that I've been adapting to is exactly what you're talking about, Cammie, where I'm having follow-up conversations and I'm talking to them about tech. The fact of the matter is, right now, the thing that's on a lot of my client's mind is AI and the infrastructure around making that AI work in the context of their WordPress site and stuff like that. So it's been really helpful for me just to start having those conversations, because that's helping me actually discover in the first place what's even on their mind. I think that whenever I've been seeing a lot of the stuff in those groups, what I'm seeing a lot of is, I don't know what to expect and I don't know what to do, and I'm not sure what all this means for my business. It's changing and it's scary. And most of the time, the solution is always the same. It's talk to your customers, understand what their problems are, because there's new solutions that they have, but that's creating 10 more problems that you probably are better equipped to solve than ever. And it's just reassuring in a lot of ways, because it reminds you, like, oh, yeah, okay, there's always a bleeding edge that you're probably going to be on that your customers will never go to.
Oh, it's nice sanguine advice, isn't it? That sort of, everything's a bit calmer than it might appear. But I think you're right, both of you, Cammie and Alex, it does feel like we're at an inflection point where the fear is real. And if you do have an email list, why not, you know, be getting out amongst it and telling people what you do? It's akin to free marketing, really, isn't it, I suppose? Mm. All right, Cammie, last... What, oh, no, did I miss, oh, do we have to? okay, go for it.
Okay, so I listen to podcasts all the time, like this one, and I'm thinking about my business all the time, but occasionally you want to take a break from that. And this particular podcast with my friend Nathan and my friend Bob, is really enjoyable just to hear them shoot the S about stuff. And it's really a fun podcast to listen to. I'm also on Channel 4 with Bob on occasion. Yeah. So it's really a fun thing to do. And I just wanted to let everyone know it's okay not to listen all the time to podcasts that you've got to learn from. And the ones that make you laugh are good for your soul.
So. Yeah, good for you, Cammy. I am so happy. So we did this thing, you know, this podcast previously. I think we got to like 15 episodes or something like that. And then we mothballed it. And then Bob brought it back to life. And we've recorded two or three, I think, now. And it's just lovely hanging out with him. And neither of us have the faintest idea what we're going to talk about, except one of us brings a single word. Okay. And then we just, one of us announces it, you know, what do you think about? And in this case, it was fame. I brought the word fame. And then we talked for about half an hour about what we both think about fame.
And all the people you've met. And it was really fun.
I've not met that many fame. But for me, it was like how much I would really not like to be actually famous would be almost like a prison sentence for me. I was thinking about people like, you know, the King of England and Brad Pitt and people like that, and how their lives must be so boxed in by what on the face of it appears to be the best thing that could ever happen to a human being. But the fact they just can't sit down in a cafe and have a sandwich without a million cameras pointing at them.
Yeah, could you imagine your whole life being mixed up with Matt Damon? That would be very frustrating.
Yeah, exactly.
Nathan, your show with bringing a word reminds me, I'm launching a new podcast, not WordPress related at all, called Two Friends in a Podcast. The site should be up by this weekend. And my best friend for 30 years and I made we just have an ongoing list of words and objects, and we spin the wheel at the beginning of every episode to see what we're talking about that day.
Yeah,
you see, that should be out very soon. Yeah,
very cathartic, isn't it? Even if, you know, in the case of that one that Cammy's just brought to bear, it's not going to get big listeners, but it's nice. We just hang out for half an hour and enjoy it and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know,
exactly.
Maybe some people will listen and get some pleasure out of it. I don't know, but it's podcasting is the thing. I'm really into it. It's a massive part of my life. Did I say I'm launching a podcast? but yeah, so thank you, Cammy. I'm glad we have at least one listener.
You do.
Who is a fan. Our direct families. Okay, so there we go. Just a couple of quick comments before we move on to the WordPressy stuff. So what have we got? Courtney says, apologies, I've just blanked out Alex's face. I need to swap notes with his rig versus mine. So she's talking about you and your AI, I think, Alex. I have a hunch we are similar. AI, all the thing. Alex is insane, Courtney. If you're doing what Alex is doing, then I'd be staggered because it's literally off the charts. But in a good way, you know, I mean, he's still... You know, maybe there's metal under that skin and we can't.
I told you I'm Linux based.
That's right. Yeah.
I got to get her on the show. Well, doing an AI interviewing show.
I think she would be the perfect candidate because she strikes me as very similar in approach to you. The conversations that we've had about the way that she has been curating content and making it available in the WordPress space is also pretty phenomenal. Lots of Obsidian things going backwards and forwards, if memory serves.
Memory serves, very funny.
Yes, it was. Well, it's that. So Nomad Skateboarding, it's back. It's just not on my podcast feed. It's on the Open Channels podcast feed, so it's exactly the same. It's literally the same. There's nothing changed except we've put it elsewhere. First WordCamp, so we're back to that. Courtney says, my first WordCamp needed volunteers but still had run out of tickets before I got mine. My first camp was as a contributor for checking attendees in. That's a good way of breaking the ice, isn't it? Being a contributor for doing something like that, front and center of house. That's an interesting idea.
And you meet everybody as they come in because you're checking them in.
That's right. Yeah. In a fairly low pressure environment in that sense as well, isn't it? Imran says he's keen to know when the demo, no idea when the demo of the new podcast app, but it's not far. It'll be like a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. 8 years? I don't know. Really not 8 years.
I just messaged you to come on PostStatus and do a demo with you and Dan. Okay. So I just sent you my calendar so we can get something
interesting. I wanted to know to do the whole process. Nathan, can you tell me more? Just putting play. I don't know what you mean. Is that something to do with the app?
And a demo of your app.
I can show you, Courtney. Just ping me, and I'll show you behind the scenes what it does and things at some point. Or no, go for fill out that form, the page that I mentioned earlier, nathanwrigley.com/ what the heck was it? I've completely forgotten. podcast-app. No, I can't remember. Rewind.
I can't remember.
Listen
either.
To 10 minutes ago. that's how good I am at marketing. Oh, dear. I need a second brain, Alex.
Hear me out, Nathan. You can do a podcast, but then record it, and then people can play it again later. You should totally try that. I think you should just record a video Rewind. Demo.
Just... I can put it in a newsletter as well.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Man, got all these ideas. Just need to execute. That's the thing. Courtney, I can get... Just ping me, Courtney. I'll send you the link to that page because we're going to sort of onboard a bunch of people at the same time. Right. Okay. WordPressy stuff. Here we go. So Gutenberg Times has kind of become the source of truth for WordPress's latest iterations, and WordPress 7.1 is that. We have been through quite a bit of this before, so I'm not going to go through it with a fine tooth comb, just to say that it is now out. It's gutenbergtimes.com. And if you search for WordPress 7.1 source of truth, and it really, I mean, watch me scroll. I mean, heck. You know, there's a lot, and everything is linked. Every single portion of, a new feature or what have you, you can see where the ideas have come from. Just this little bit is the table of contents, but there's absolutely loads. So if you would like to get into the weeds of what's coming in 7.1, because there's a couple of really new, nice features that your clients maybe want to get in hand, it's all in there. I mean, literally, it's all in there. If it isn't in that thing, it isn't. In WordPress 7.1, basically. So go and check that out. Anybody got anything on that? Probably not. No. Okay. In which case, I will move us on. Natalie, who is behind Aardvark, triple A Aardvark, I might add. So it's AAA Aardvark. That's not really doing it justice, is it? Aardvark. I like that. The AAA is to do with web accessibility and what have you. This is Natalie's thing. And she has decided that she wants to launch a community if that is also your thing. Or maybe it's a thing that you would like to be your thing, but you're not actually that skilled at the moment. So it's called the Aardvark with AAA Circle, and the tagline is step into accessibility with the training, tools and support you need to grow your agency and build a more inclusive web. The Aardvark Circle is a supportive membership and community changing the way freelancers and agencies approach accessibility. And in terms of what it's doing, you know, the mechanisms that it's doing, it's not doing anything revolutionary. It's membership, it's community, it's forums, it's all of those kind of things. But I don't know if there's an accessibility one out there, so maybe this is for you. There is a kickoff call in just a few days. So the 7th of August is when it begins. And it says here, sign up by the 31st of July. But I don't know how true that is. You might have, because it still says join the circle. Anyway, you know, you can go and peruse that page, check out Natalie's credentials and what have you, and see what's on offer. Anybody on that?
I love circle groups. I'm happy to see.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Do you think it's A? Yeah, it probably is. That you mean the platform? So
yeah. Well, I miss maybe it because it says circle. Oh. I'm thinking maybe, but I guess I'll sign up. I'll find out.
That's right. Well, it's got circle in capital C, so maybe it is in fact that. Yeah, it's a really credible platform for doing those kind of things. It's kind of taken over the whole community game, hasn't it, really? Anyway, there it is. It's called, if you go to Aardvark with AAA, accessibility.com, and if you just search their blog. But I'll link to it, as I do with everything mentioned today, in the show notes that come out as an email. Okay. In which case, I'll move on. Right. So, Austin Ginder is a man possessed. He's been literally, forgive me, Austin. I've spoken to him on a podcast. I don't mean this in the way it's about to sound, but I had not heard of Austin, let's say 4 months ago. And now I cannot stop hearing about Austin because he's been doing loads of stuff, WP Beacon. And then he's taken more recently to using AI, like fully AI, to transform the WordPress admin. And what on the face of it seems like a really easy enterprise, you know, oh, you just swap out one UI for another UI. Well, he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't just want to change the way it looks. He wants to change the way that you behave in your WordPress admin and surface the things that you use most often and, you know, minimize the things which are annoying. However, what he's learning, which I suppose, given the benefit of hindsight, was obvious, although I wouldn't have spotted it, is that it's very easy to design a UI, which is beautiful, and he has achieved that, but then actually trying to figure out, well, what the heck do people do? What can I do to improve that? That's the really hard bit. And he says, creating a beautiful UI admin is easy. Getting it functional enough for anybody to use, that's the hard part. Adoption is the wall. A prettier admin has to be more useful than the one people already know on the exact tasks they already do, or they bounce back to the things that they know, which just works. Anyway, in this article, he iterates like 3 or 4 different things that he's done. But honestly, having had a look at this project, just from videos and screenshots and things like that, I really like it. And you can install it as a plugin, follow along. He is iterating at breakneck speed, so I would imagine it's probably not suitable for a live website or anything, but throw Austin a bone, you know, go and check it out and what have you. It's called MinAdmin, MinAdmin. And unfortunately, these screenshots don't really do it justice because they're all in dark mode and it doesn't really come out on the video so well. But when you look at the pictures of various parts of the UI, it's really nice. And it just looks like a modern SaaS app. Anyway, there you go. Any of you three want to comment on that?
Yeah, it's been really fun watching this. Actually, I've been kind of monitoring it a little bit quietly because Austin's using Claude. He actually mentions that in the post to do a lot of the design and stuff. And it kind of highlighted something that I've observed too over the last few months. Whenever you're designing things, is designing a dashboard is pretty easy. Designing a specific dashboard for your needs even is pretty easy, but designing a general dashboard for like multi-purpose uses, like you said, is a bit more challenging.
Well, because like Austin says, the minute you hit if something that he hasn't thought of that you do with muscle memory in the WP admin, if it's easier over there and you do that thing 100 times a week, you're going to drop his tool and go straight back to the main, you know, the regular WP admin. And so it's a question for Austin, who, by the way, has just randomly showed up in the comments.
Hi, Austin.
Hey, Austin.
We've been saying nice things, I promise. And so they'll just go back, won't they? So that whole journey of figuring out what do people typically do. For me, it's blocks, text, media library, you know, templates, those kind of things. Nothing too extraordinary, but.
Well, related to it, I think I don't know if I mentioned, Austin, if you haven't, please fill out the form. I would love to talk to you about AI on that show.
Tell us what, have you got a short version? Can you, if you send me in private chat, Alex, the URL for your podcast onboarding, I'll stick it on the screen and that'll make it easier for Austin.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I'm just.
No. Say it out loud as well.
Okay. It doesn't even have a name yet. It's an AI podcast show that I'm doing, but I'm basically going to be doing one-on-one conversations with just people, just kind of talk and shop about AI. I want to hear what they're doing, comparing notes and things like that. So I think he already filled out the form, but I would love to talk to you about that more. But the thing that's interesting to me about dashboards, I have a couple of people on my team at Novatorious who are internal tooling, that AI brain and stuff like that. It works across my company. And I've just kind of given them the APIs and the SDKs and all the tooling that they need to be able to customize it and use it as they want. And I built this whole interface for my team to use. And the developers that have been using it just haven't used it. They just opt to talk to Claude and say, this is the stuff I need. Here's the tooling I need. Build me the interface I actually want. And interfaces. Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyway, and Austin has, you know, it's a small user base that he's got, he's got to worry about.
It just makes me wonder what's going to happen to dashboards in general. Like, is that going to be
a thing? Is it going to be like people are just going to be...
And you just tell it what you need and it builds the dashboard.
I need a dashboard that tells me this, and this. The system has its own predefined like design systems and APIs and SDKs and it just goes, oh, sure, I'll go build that. And it assembles you your own app and it... I don't know. It seems like dashboards are relatively cheap to build. So I'm interested to see like if there's going to be some kind of future where the concept of a dashboard is a lot more tailored to the person.
So Austin, off you go.
Yeah. Could you go? Yeah.
By the way, he's filled out your form or at least.
Oh, good. Okay. I thought I saw the submission. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I presume that's
good.
What that means.
Yeah.
He said I did. And just going back to quickly, just to the WordPress 7.1, Elliot Richmond joining in, saying source of truth. You know, we mentioned it a minute ago. Responsive controls. Finally. Yes. Responsive controls, finally, indeed. And for me, the new media modal is something I really like. That. Oh, and that playlist block for audio, because, you know, podcasting. Did I say I've got... Moving on. firstly, Austin, I don't know if you heard me basically saying, I think this is such a cracking project. It looks beautiful. But I don't envy you the uphill struggle of trying to, you know, wrangle a decent interface for the 40 plus million people out there who've got a WordPress dashboard. No doubt all of them wanting a different thing slightly. I like your idea, though, Alex, of, you know, an interface where you can build a dashboard. Yeah. There's the stretch goal, Austin. can you build that for us?
I want a UI that lets me have my own UI.
Yeah, indeed. Amber Hines joining us says that's what Tableau has been doing with their AI integrations. What's Tableau? Is that, do we all know what that is? I don't know what that is. It's got a capital T, so I'm imagining it's a product. And I'm imagining, Amber, are you talking about you can build your own dashboard with it? The next comment says it all. Making it easier to build reporting dashboard. Oh, so it's an app. It's an API or a, I don't know, something, or an SDK or something like that for building dashboards. Okay, thank you. That's good to know. Bookmark that for next time. Right, shall we move on? Yeah. All right, let's pop the screen back up and go for this one. This was the piece that I mentioned earlier. So we won't dwell on this for ages and ages and ages, but this is from somebody called Cameron Abdul Aziz. And it was written on the 16th of July, and it's called Why It Took Me 16 Years to Contribute to WordPress. It's quite a long piece, actually. So Cameron, Kamran, I believe it was spelled. Yeah, Cameron. Is outlining why basically he's been using WordPress for 16 years and never really thought to peel back the curtain and attend a WordPress event. He attended the first one that he's ever been to earlier in the year, and it was a real turnoff. It just didn't hit the mark for him. But for reasons that he explains in the article, a friend persuaded him to go to WordCamp Asia. He attended. Some of it was mixed, like some bits of it didn't seem to go very well, but some of it did. And it's a real nice story of why the heck we turn up to these events. And I don't know if you've noticed, like we were talking about newsletters earlier, my newsletter feed from WordCamp US has gone off the scale. I think they've gone into like marketing overdrive over there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because ticket sales are, you know, maybe not what they'd have hoped, or I don't really know, but they're really doing a whole boatload of new and interesting stuff. Cammy mentioned, you know, the education piece from Jamie and various others, and we'll mention something a bit later. But this article kind of sums up why you would want to attend these events and how not to feel imposter syndrome, but also attend prepared. You know, if you're going to do some developer-y stuff, make sure you know what the minimum level of competency is and have yourself set up so you're ready to go. So Cameron, I love that piece. It was very honest. But I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that. If not, we'll just crack on. Gosh, it's 50 minutes past the hour already. Okay. In which case, here we go. There's some more. It is apparently, Amber says it's enterprise reporting software from Salesforce. Okay. There you go.
Nathan, scroll down to where you see his photo at the bottom. He has a really nice, disclaimer right below it, right there. A note on the article.
A note on this article, some places and names are left out on purpose. Everything else happened exactly as written. The story and the opinions are mine. I used an AI assistant to reframe, fix grammar, and keep the flow readable. The same way I use for code, staying in the loop the whole way in a piece about using AI, honestly. That felt worth saying out loud. I'm curious, why did you want me to mention that? And I know why, but I'm curious why.
Well, talk about AI all the time, right? And people using AI. And I think he wanted us to know that he didn't write the article with AI, but how he did use it. And I think that's a really nice disclaimer so that, you know, that we can trust what he said. And that, you know, as somebody who maybe isn't a writer by trade, he's used it in a way that helped him get his point across without having it write the article completely. And I think it's just nice to see somebody put the disclaimer in there that, yes, I used it, but the thoughts, everything is mine. I just use it to make it a little more presentable or whatever.
Well, and also, I don't know what Cameron's first language is, but there's some beautifully written English in that piece. And, yeah. You know, it, what a great help AI would be for taking, I don't know what Cameron's English is like, but let's assume that it's not his first language. It's a great help, right? But also, I think in the future, we are going to want to know that there's this sort of declaration of there was a little bit of help here, or there was no help here. I wrote every word and sat and painstakingly did it. I've got a feeling that we're going to see that bit at the bottom of the piece start to rise to the top of the piece at some point in the next year. I think people are going to start to want to see that right at the top. Like, there was no AI in this. Whatever the trust metric there is. But I think that's going to become more and more important. Coincidentally, in the podcasting space, there's now a tag for that. You can actually tag your podcast with AI, no AI, some AI, or all AI. And that's going to be surfaced in like podcast players and things like that. So it's starting to be programmatic so that, you know, your feed reader can make that determination for you. So you could maybe filter on those kind of things. But I think that's really interesting.
That's why I wanted you to, Michelle. I called it to your attention that way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very honest about it, isn't he? There's no, there's no sense of apology or like this. It's just, this is what I've done. It helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Ron?
It's Adam Silver.
Hello, Adam. Hi. He's saying hi, basically. And then back to Austin again. AI plus min admin is all you need.
All you need. Yeah. I thought love was all you need, but...
Well, not anymore.
That was the Beatles.
That was way back in the 60s. Yeah. Now it's AI. Yeah. is all you need. Right, let's put the screen back up and let's press on. So mark this as a success. So this is the repository reporting. It's called First Student Survey Show WordPress Credits Building Skills and Satisfaction with Focus Now on Retention. So the WordPress Credits Program, at the risk of repeating myself, I have to do this most weeks, but I think many people don't even know what it is. So it is a process by which your college or your educational establishment, university, can basically go and work with the WordPress Foundation and say, we would like some of our students' actual curriculum to be done in the WordPress space. And then they thrash that out, and then the university will give credit, i.e. WordPress credit. So this program's been running for a little while now. They've smashed through the goal. They had a goal of, now let me get this right, I think it was like 15 or so institutions being onboarded, and they've gone through that and they've got up to 20 or something like that. There we go. In a separate June update, full target of 20. So they've gone through that target by mid-year. And the idea was to get that by the end of the year. And now they're aiming for 35. But basically... It, not only have they got lots of institutions involved, they've put 242 students through the program, and it would appear that the students are very happy. You know, they've sort of polled them at the end, and they've said they're really happy. But the one thing which isn't seeming to come out of it is retention. So they're enjoying it while they're at university. But then the bit, I suppose, which from a WordPress perspective, that was easy for me to say, from a WordPress perspective, would be, it would be nice if these people stuck around. That would appear not to be happening.
quite as much. There's two strands to their credits. You can do a shorter strand and a longer strand. The longer strand seems to encourage contribution after it's finished, the shorter one less so. So that's going to be the goal coming forwards. But really nice to see that this is actually working out. Felt like it was one of those projects that really had a home, and now it seems to be working. So I will throw that out there if any of you three want to toss it about.
Are there any statistics that they're sharing about it being, how it's being adopted in the US versus worldwide?
Or yeah, that's an interesting one. And the answer from this piece, at least, is no.
Yeah.
They do. They've mentioned, as they've onboarded institutions one at a time, they've mentioned them. So if memory serves, I'm thinking like Costa Rica, I think. There was a few places in India. There was Pisa. That was the first one to jump on board. So I don't actually know if there's any
You look at the third US bullet. Look at the third bullet says it's that they're doing something ahead of a U.S. college pilot.
So yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the news a few weeks ago. Well spotted, Michelle. Yeah, they are looking for, or at least they were a couple of weeks ago, they were looking for people to help explain what a curriculum. So they had interest from a U.S. college somewhere, but they were trying to figure out what a U.S. college would want from it, because obviously it's going to be different from other parts of the world. And so I'm taking from that that this would be the first instance of that. So, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, lovely to sort of see that going on in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about sending out emails earlier and how effective that can be. Well, turns out if you send out 800,000 emails at the exact same moment, it can break your site. I love this. And how nice that they actually wrote this up, because they could have just buried this, like, you know, nothing to see here. But
funny.
They didn't. They wrote a blog post about it, which I think is very honest and really nice of them to do it. So
it's a cautionary tale.
Definitely a cautionary tale. But I'm presuming if you've got like, you know, what do they call them? Like an email sending service, like MailChimp or whatever you've got, ActiveCampaign. I'm presuming it just handles all this stuff for you and you know, sends out a thousand 1 minute and a thousand the next minute or whatever.
Yeah.
However, so this was a few months ago. It was at 9:15 in the morning. We sent a letter to 800,000 people. Not just take that in for a minute. Just that number alone is so mighty. Oh, that's so great. And by 9:18, so a full 3 minutes.
Three minutes.
A colleague pinged to say that WooCommerce.com was down. I mean, at this point, your heart is sinking. Like, what did we do? What did we do? It's such an interesting story.
Just read the next sentence was the first thought I had.
Yeah. Our monitoring alert arrived at 9:22, 4 minutes after a human had already noticed. Alert latency is a separate topic.
The human should not be faster than the robot at this specific job. It just should not be. That is hilarious to me.
What made it confusing is nothing shipped that morning and there was no attack. And it turned out that we did it to ourselves with the email campaign. So I didn't realize this, and I am definitely going to say this incorrectly. But if you spray out email, it turns out that all the sort of email hosting companies, you know, so the Gmails of this world, that kind of thing, and, you know, Office 365 or what have you, the moment they receive that email, they go straight to the source to see if there's any malware, so that every single time that email is opened up, they can confidently say, you know, oh, we checked it once, that email's fine, move on, it's fine to open. And so that's exactly what happened. So it more or less instantly turns around. It doesn't load any of it doesn't necessarily load the bulk of the email or the sort of payload of the email, but it just turns around and goes, let's look at that site. So if you send out 800,000 of these at the same time, they all turn around and go, show us what you got. And I don't know how many it was, presumably nothing like 800,000. I don't know how many email services there are out there, but it's enough to take WooCommerce.com down for a few minutes, which is so interesting.
Well, what's interesting to me is Google isn't saying, oh, we checked that one, you know, 3 minutes ago, it's fine, or a minute ago, it's fine. I guess when it comes to malware, maybe it can't, but
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of really interesting. Anyway, so for a few minutes, they were scrabbling around trying to figure out what the heck was going wrong. And then it says here, so, you know, there's the sort of preamble. Then it says here, what actually hit us? The newsletter went to store owners. That audience skews heavily towards corporate mailboxes, Office 365, Mimecast, and the like. These providers run aggressive security scanners that fetch every link in an email the moment it arrives, checking for malware long before the human opens anything.
Oh, that answers
delivering 800,000 emails at once. And that scanners arrived all at once too, most of them within seconds of each other. 800,000. This is so great. The bulk of that spike was machines. A consumer audience on Gmail would never have had this generated. I can't prove that every one of those connections with a scanner, but it's the only story that fits everything that we saw.
It's like so many of the Death Eaters.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Just here they come.
Anyway, you know, I presume if, like I said, if you're using a provider that, you know, that will send things out, MailChimp and what have you, they're going to sort of spread this more evenly. But maybe WooCommerce are running something a bit more bespoke, something of their own, which now presumably will provide a little bit of latency in there as well. So that's interesting. Yeah, fascinating. Okay. Anybody on that? There's a few comments, which I'll put up.
It's just hilarious.
Amber says, I think trying to get free contributors. So we're back to the piece about education, the Campus Connect, I guess. No, not Campus Connect, WordPress credits. Oh, dear. I think trying to get free contributors is good, but probably not reasonable. I think only a small percentage are likely to contribute as volunteers if they're not connected to their work. Yeah. I think that's what they're learning. But the more in-depth the educational content is and the longer they spend on it, the more they are likely to contribute, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? They get into the weeds of it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very unlikely you're going to see somebody who's just learning WordPress turn around and start to contribute.
Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take some of us? I told you it took me like 7 years before I started.
Yeah, me too. Something along those lines. This would probably be better for skilling people up for jobs in WP if they want to start their own WP businesses. And then carrying on, Courtney, even if connected to work, it is a challenge to get approvals in that time frame to be able to direct labor into it. Could happen, but work with the workforce to scope timing. And then Amber's back. Yeah, there are a few employers who will pay people to contribute to open source rather than their own company's projects. And then James says, hello and good morning.
There we go.
Hello, James. Nice to have you with us. Okay, I will move on if that's all right. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of products out there, like Atarim, I think, is probably the most famous, that allows you to kind of work with your clients and tag things on, you know, websites that you're building and that kind of thing, so that you can have some sort of to and fro between you and the clients. I know Atarim has gone far beyond that in more recent times, but that's kind of how it began. And I just wanted to mention this one because it came up on my socials this week. It's built specifically, I don't really know why it's the case, but it's built specifically for Bricks and Elementor. So I'm guessing there's some sort of heavy connection. But anyway, it's called Reviso. And the tagline is, stop digging through email threads, Loom links and screenshots. Reviso lets clients click any element and leave precise contextual feedback, and you manage it without ever leaving your editor. So I'm guessing that on the front end, client, you know, clicks on a thing that they don't like or they want amending. And then when you're in the Bricks builder, say, it pops up inside there at the point where you can actually do the work. I suppose where that differs from something like Atarim is that you see it divorced from the tool that you're building with. So that's quite an interesting take, if I have parsed that correctly. As far as I'm aware, it's new, and it's the URL is getreviso, reviso.io. They've got a free version, and there's a pro version as well, but I don't know what the cost of any of that stuff is, so you could go and check it out. I never use tools like this, but maybe those people out there who are using Cami, do you ever use
this? Yeah, well, I've tried several of these. Like WP Feedback was in the old days, but I tend to see that I either have clients that can't figure it out or the client that leaves me like 500 comments, and then
there's
like,
no in between.
Oh God, what have I done? What have I done?
Yeah, yeah. You've given them like an intravenous line into your brain, haven't you? Yeah.
Just like, at what point? Why don't you just tell me to start over?
Yeah. Okay. That's the feeling you get.
So I think they can be helpful for a certain type of client, but there are clients that either just can't figure it out how to start it, or like I said, it's never been right in the middle for me. So
I wonder if we should batch limit the amount of clicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you got five on your plan this
week.
Day. That's right. You've used up your one amendment.
You get five changes.
That's, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea. It might make people think more carefully about it. You know, right. Put in four bogus, like trifling comments and one decent one.
The sixth one leads you to unlock five more comments for $99.
That's an upgrade. Like
right. Yeah. Or now you have to leave five comments of things you like.
I'm furious at writing this down.
Yeah.
It must balance.
Yeah.
That's right.
I tried a bunch of tools like this as well. And basically, in my case, I got crickets. I was very much, I'm sure, Camille, maybe the same as for you. Mm-hmm. I was very much local website builds. And so yeah, I literally knew the people. And it was easier for them to pick up the phone and go, Nathan, about page, you know.
One of them that I purchased, and I can't remember the name, at one point it lumped all their comments into one bubble. And so like somebody had gone in and done a whole bunch, and then I log in and they're like all in one spot.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of ended it for me.
Yeah, there's no perfect tool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, it's there. If you fancy checking it out, it might be your thing, especially if you're using Elementor and Bricks. I've got to say, I do like the idea of the comment dropping in the place where you are going to edit it.
It is a great idea.
That's a neat idea, right? Yeah.
Maybe if you spend the time to educate your clients how to use it properly from the get-go, that could really help with getting them to use it properly.
I think you're right.
I think it could be a really cool. This is why I was so excited about the comments feature that they added in the editor. Because I immediately just think this would be great for me to use as a feedback tool for an AI agent that's building for me. So I could point at a thing and be like, this is exactly the problem. I need you to fix this exact thing.
Okay.
What a great idea.
Yeah, that would be useful. But I'm kind of with you on it from the client perspective. Usually my clients are, they hire me because they don't know, like they're in over their head, or they're in an agency. In those cases, usually they just want to have a meeting and they want to just ask me questions, and they don't know the solution to the problem in the first place. So it's usually too abstract in the first place.
So Austin, if you're still in the comments, you got a bit of time on your hands.
I'm building for a crew right now that can't figure out how to change a cell in a spreadsheet to say this has been completed from their end. So.
This might be a little overkill. Yeah.
Depends on the client.
For sure.
Right. So Elliot Richmond joins us, and he says, for client pinned feedback, I've used Bug Herd. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah,
oh, I see what I did there. I've used Bug Herd for years. I love to see a WP-centric tool for this sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'll go check out Bug Herd. That looks good.
How about the one time you do a pun, I miss it, but every time you do one by accident, I pick it up.
I never do puns by accident. They're always very deliberate. It's just a thing. That's right.
Yeah. Maybe that's our title, right? I know.
Okay. Wasn't paying attention. I only do puns on purpose, something like that. Right, I can't write that down. On purpose. Oh, I'm never going to be able to read that. Never mind. Right, let's move on.
I'm typing it to you right now.
That was thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it. That was Reviso. Do you know what, Michelle? This new thing that I've got, we'd be able to solve. It's taken care of. Right, OpenStation. Let me get the screen up. Okay, so this is mental and fabulous at the same time. Like, I really, really like this. I imagine a tiny subset of people are going to think this is cool. But it is desktop mode. We've mentioned it on this podcast before. But basically, imagine your WordPress website as an OS. So, you know, on like, I use macOS, so that's the one that's to my fingertips. You know, you've got the Finder, and the Finder can be in a window over there. And then you can have like, I don't know, you could have Notion open and you're doing some writing over in that little bit there. And then you've got, I don't know, your media, like you've got the MP3 files and stuff. That's in a bit over here. That's what this is trying to do. It's trying to make your website into, like, to atomize it, to put the bits that you use most frequently into literal different windows on this canvas, which looks like an OS. And I'm going to go to a tweet, which will, I don't know if you'll like, I don't know that I'm hanging with those little wobbly, stuff that going on there.
But cosmic, like, or not,
yeah, it's like Linux 19, from the 19,
yeah, the two, like early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right. Do you remember there was that option inside of things like Ubuntu where you could do that?
Yeah, that was literally what got me switched over. I'm here today because of Windows, and I'm not even exaggerating.
But what we're looking at is, so there's a menu item on the left, look just like you would have on WordPress at the moment, but then you've got like a dock style interface at the bottom where you can pin things. You've got a separate window. In this case, it's showing us like a recycle bin. So presumably that's media or posts or what have you. But the point to notice is that everything's in a window and the shift there is pretty cool.
I kind of love it.
Well, so do I, because what I would want, and I've said this on the shows previously, is I'd want my media library open in one window. I would want my posts that I'm writing at the moment in another window, but a pending post that I've kind of half written, I'd want that in another window. I'd probably want some familiar settings that I know I'm always dipping into in yet another window. And so you can do it and you open up WordPress as like an OS, which, you know, I think it's hard to get there in your head if you haven't really looked at the screenshots and things, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, get rid of all the flashy graphics, and I don't want any of that. I just want it to be, you know, one thing. But you can see, like, there's, you know, there's desktop icons, which presumably would map to bits that you've decided are shortcuts that you always return to, and you click on it, it'll open up a new window. It's pretty cool. Anyway, the desktop mode 0.9.6 has been announced, and they seem to be going through a ton of different variations on things. It says, we're excited to announce the version I've just said. Another huge release with new features, UX improvement, performance optimization, and bug fixes. Because your WordPress websites need them, they've included games. So, you know, you want to just get a bit bored whilst you're doing your website, you can now play Inkfall or Alphabet Soup. I don't want those on my version. I'll play those all day. But you can see here is, there's a little video which is showing you how that actually worked. Look, a little game that's included, but there's obviously a whole AI console. They've got like a command palette. They've got an actual file manager. I'll just read it. It says, turn your WordPress install into your own cloud storage. Create folders, upload files, organize your content, download entire folders as zip archives. That's pretty cool, right? It's like a OS inside of a browser. They've also expanded the notes feature, so you can now pin notes to you. So it's not the notes feature that is inside the post editor. It's literally like sticky notes. I don't know if you can see it in this video. Let me click replay. Look, it's like sticky notes that you stick on the desktop somewhere, and a whole bunch more. So anyway, I don't
know. How is Matt not eating this up? Did you literally say OS for the web?
Do you think it's actually a credible idea?
I think it's awesome. I think it's so fun. I think the only thing I wish it would do is I want it as an Electron app, and then every window be its own app so that I can use my native OS's window management setup. And oh my gosh, I would just use it.
So like, say that again. So you'd want it as an Electron app so that your Finder or whatever Linux distribution you're on, you could drag the media from there straight into your post. So it,
So like imagine if I was able to open an instance of this app and I could have it pinned to the media and it's just like a normal window on my screen and then they could interact with each other or something like that. And
The whole setup would just work in the regular thing. And then those windows, instead of having the whole desktop environment on the in the browser, it would just be those individual windows that just are used in my native environment. That would be, I would love that. But I mean, that's a pretty big diversion from what I think he's trying to do here. But still, it's super cool. I think it's a lot of fun.
Honestly, I don't know if you're like me, but I genuinely have. So, because I do for the tavern, I do for this new podcasting thing. Have I mentioned that? And the WP builds and a variety of other different things. I'm constantly trying to remember where the heck am I? And if I had like an icon in my, I don't know, in my dock on the Mac and I could click it and all the things that I typically use for the tavern are just there. Close that, open the WP build one. Everything that I need for that is just there, all set out how I want it with the windows at the right sizes.
Yeah.
Loving it.
You know, what's fun is you're seeing things like this desktop environment. You're seeing them talking about the AI, their own second brain note taking thing built into WordPress and all these other tools and all these interesting different ways to use WordPress that have nothing to do with a traditional blog, right?
Yeah.
It's still content management, but it's really interesting to see how all these things are like kind of appearing as we're experimenting with what does a CMS like look like this decade and the next decade.
A lot of it is getting drowned out, isn't it, actually? Yeah, that's just the fear, is that there's too many things. Like, you know, we had Austin earlier with his min admin.
Mm-hmm.
That could get drowned out because, you know, this desktop suddenly gets popular, but there's like 55 different overlapping things all going on. It is exciting times.
Yeah.
And there's a few comments coming. Let me just raise those. So Elliot, going back to the tool that you use to inspect, you know, with clients to check out websites. I used a similar tool to Kami back when I built sites. I tried those tools. Some users found it overwhelming and just preferred emails. Some would post way too many comments. Yeah, maybe there's no perfect for that kind of thing. Thank you, WP Jackson. Hi, Jackson. A great free plugin in the repo is called Alpaca Issue Tracker. I love the way that kind of way that sounds. Alpaca Issue Tracker. There's some rhyming going on there. I like that.
Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I am Alpaca, the issue tracker. There's a jingle in there somewhere. I only do puns on purpose. Thank you.
On purpose. Do you see the pun?
Oh. It didn't. My head.
Nice one, Michelle.
Yeah. It doesn't matter where I was. I was somewhere recently and I read a sign, and it only occurred to me when I got to the end of the sign that everything was incorrectly spelt. Sometimes dramatically incorrectly spelt. No. But the whole point is almost every word was dramatically different from what it was. And the whole point of the sign was for you to notice that you actually don't read the word. You read what you think the word is going to be. And in most cases, you put a the, and it might have said like THX, and you read it as the. Mm-hmm. And I see purpose there, so I read it out. But anyway, there you go. What Alex says pressing, is that Andrew Palmer? I know you've got a new podcast and it's got that name, so it might be Andrew. What Alex just said he wanted I'm reading that as from a feedback tool is exactly what Atrium 5 does now. Okay,
cool. That
is Andrew.
That makes sense.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Right, shall we move on? Gosh, look at the time. We've only got 10 minutes left. Blimey neck. Right, okay. Let's press on very quickly. I'm going to paraphrase everything from now on very quickly. If you've ever wanted to know what the heck a plugin on the WordPress repo, what its history is and how its actual install base is going back, it's like the Wayback Machine for plugins, this apparently does it. I've never come across it before. It's called WP Analyze. And you type in the name of a plugin that's on the repo and it will give you data about that plugin going backwards. So, you know, for example, I don't know, main WP, we have Mark Benzekane on here rather a lot. Let me type it in. They've got a whole bunch of different ones, so I'll just pick the most popular one. You can see here 700,000 active installs, 700,000 plus installs. I don't know how they've come at this, but it says it's thought to be 758, 333 downloads 47.5 million. Gosh, they're doing all right, aren't they? Yeah, bravo. Main WP. Their support ticket has 100% resolution, which is
that one ticket.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They've only got one.
So glad they answered it.
They stood up to 7.2, and then there's a whole load of other data, which
that's really neat.
Yeah, this is cool. I spent some time with this before I got online.
What's Sirens? Is it?
Oh, could you? Siren. Yeah. Okay. Very quickly. Do I just do Siren
affiliate?
Do I put in a space?
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Yeah. Here we go. Not enough data. Ranks 40,448.
That's pretty solid. I've got some five.
It's the beginning, right? It's just the beginning.
200 downloads and no installs. Why? That's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Is it true though? Does that map? Anyway, this is the job. And then you've got menus at the top, like rankings, stats, which is, you know, more broadly about what's going on. So you could obviously, you know, if you're a plugin developer, you can see what things are, which categories are hot and things like that. So it's just a nice skin on top of the WordPress.org repo, which might give you some classic
editor is still way up there in the rankings. Isn't that really interesting?
Look at that. There's 9.5 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And it's got a really high satisfaction rating. Look at that. 4.9. Oh, well. Elementor, it wins with Yoast SEO in second place, Contact Form 7, and it goes down from there. But yeah, anyway, it's called WP Analyze with a Z, in it. Okay. Right. Oh, Elliot, who's in the comments. Just a bit of a hat tip to Elliot, who had his simple turnstile plugin reach 200,000 active installs. So do you know what we should do? We should go, let's just copy and paste that text, simple turnstile, and should we whack it into WP Analyze? Is it gonna find it? Da-da-da. Live telly, never do live, so never... work. No, it says it can't find it. Oh, that's because you've got a new name for it, isn't it? And I've forgotten what the name is. Anyway, we'll ignore that. Press on. Well done is all I wanted to say with that.
Congrats, Elliot.
Quite exciting. 200,000. It says last year I estimated it would reach this milestone by December, so it's 4 months early. Took just under a year to get to 100,000. Now averaging... That's so great. Look at that number. 1,920 installs per week. That's phenomenal. Bravo.
Elliot, congratulations, but also put your photo on your LinkedIn profile, would you, buddy?
Yeah. Well, no, that's what he actually looks like. Oh, yeah, that's very anonymous. Very anonymous. I met him in Krakow. He's just like...
He looks just like that.
Yeah, it's just like that. No. Elliot, somebody follow him on LinkedIn quickly. That's such an annoying number. That's 999.
I will after the show. After the show.
Quickly. Let's
Can you do mine? I know it's at the very end.
Like a whole, no, it's the same.
He says just try turnstile, that, the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so with only a few minutes to spare, Jamie Marsland has been talking about this tool he's been building with AI called Goff, like Van Goff.
And we say go over here.
Yeah, okay, you say go, we say Goff. Yeah, Van Gogh. Mm-hmm. It's really great. That is to say, it's the most minimal UI you can imagine. There's really nothing here that I can show you because it's not that. This isn't the point of this piece. Mm-hmm. But it really gets out the way. You use what looks like a WYSIWYG editor of sublime simplicity. But behind the scenes, it's using core blocks and basically it's adopting everything from your theme. So, you know, font sizes and font weights and all of that. And it's just using all of that. So if you come out of the editor and actually look at the blocks, you can actually migrate it to another tool and what have you. Anyway, he's asking the question, should it be built? Because it's an experiment at the moment. And my answer, as you probably worked out, is crack on, Jamie.
Why ask? Just do it, Jamie.
Because he just doesn't have enough time as the head of WordPress YouTube, you know, he's so I would say yes, go for it. I don't know whether he's thinking about that as a commercial product or not, but there you go.
Can I beg you to skip to the end one, because I really need help with that one.
Okay, yeah, very quickly. I'll just put this up. Elliot says I have a phone. Oh, it's because I'm locked out. Yeah, okay.
That would be why. Okay, yeah. I'll make sure I'm connected.
Do you mean this one?
I do.
Okay.
I got this lovely bit of stationery in the mail the other day. Found this in a box of stationery and thought of you because it's all Wonder Woman on it. And a lot of people know I collect that stuff. And it says heart, and it looks like Cam.
Yeah, it looks like, she thought it was me. It
looks like Cam, and I don't know who it's from. Uh-oh. Is it from you, Nathan?
No, I just quickly had to go and do something. Sorry, carry on.
I don't know who it's from. I can't tell from the signature. There's no return address. The stamp doesn't even tell me what state or town it was canceled in. So if it was you out there, people of the world, thank you. I did post it on, I reached out to Cammie because I thought she never says Cam, but maybe that was her. It wasn't her. It wasn't Cameron Barron. I don't think it was Cammie Chaos.
What about Cameron, the Australian Cameron, who's often in the comments?
But the stamp was printed in a US post office. So unless he was here, but yeah, I have no idea. So it's on Facebook. If you know who sent that to me, I'm very grateful. I will absolutely use it. I love it. Well, but I don't know who to thank.
I can tell you categorically that it's not from Cammie McNamara, because that's what Cammie McNamara's signature
is. I know.
Because I got the Slang-O-Matic.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, Cammie. I love that.
Yeah, that's fun. That was so kind. Yeah. I actually thought we were leading up to Cammie sent it, so I thought, oh, I'll grab that.
That's what you were doing.
Cammie gave it wasn't.
I literally have no idea who it's from. So thank you for letting me put it out there. Maybe somebody will.
It's good. Please respond. Yeah. So if you can help. The world needs fixing in this regard.
We should have led with that. That could have been the whole episode.
Handwriting analysis.
But the Slang-O-Matic, it's brilliant. I can't open it now. There's too many other things to quickly get through. Let me just see. Okay, I'm going to do these real quick. Protect the Shire, which is the initiative to delay the amount of time it takes from a plugin developer issuing an update to their plugin and it going out live. That appears to be a decent thing, because in the last week or so, a plugin did update with malware already in the payload. It wasn't spotted by the WordPress.org's new Gandalf AI reviewer. by WordFence's Prism. But the point is, the whole thing happened from it being put in the .org repo to being discovered, to being reported, and to then being pulled in under the amount of time, 6 hours, that it took for this Protect the Shire's initiative to block it. So it totally never shipped, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's AI at work there. Getting in the way of stuff like that, which nobody should ever have had to deal with. So, and then I'll just drop one more in just before we go. If you are heading to WordCamp US, we were talking about new initiatives and them, you know, having great ideas and what have you. This is an interesting one. So if you are going to be in attendance at WordCamp US, there is the AI prompt bar where you can actually go and talk to all of the AI team that are there. And the idea isn't that you go and give them fix my problem. The idea is that you go and chat about what's happening in AI in the WordPress space and get it from, as it were, the horse's mouth. So I think that's a really neat idea. Loads of new ideas coming out in WordCamp US, and I think that's a good one. So that's it, I think. That's all I've got time for. As always, if we mentioned anything, it'll be in the show notes, which I'll give you tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning, UK time.
And every heading in that email you send out will be a pun, correct?
Oh, all of them. No, none of them.
Let us know if you need help. We'll think of something.
I have not the time. It's good. Sometimes I wake up and the email has failed to send. I've got the opposite problem of WooCommerce. I wake up and it's like, oh.
At least your website's still there at the end of it. Yeah.
Trust me, there's not 800,000 people on my list. I wish. Right, that's it. That's all we've got time for. Let's go around the houses and say big thank you. So firstly, thank you to our co-host, Michelle Frechette.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks to Cammie McNamara. Yay. It's still only 7:30 in the morning.
Sunder, Sunset.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did see it. Now I got to watch the time lapse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And finally to Alex Standiford over there. We'll be back next week. Will we? Yes, I'll still be here.
Yes.
The suspense is killing me.
We'll be back next week. And
Reese will be your co-host for the first time.
Reese Wynn is going to be our co-host. That's right. Yeah, thank you for that. Yep. And so we'll have a new panel and, you know, 7 days of new content to talk about. So join us for that. All that we've got to do now is do the hand wave of joy, which, you know, is just joyous. Look at the joy we're all having doing that. Thank you so much. Right. I have no idea what video is going to play here. At all. Now I've pressed the right button. In theory, we should get 10 seconds of my logo, but I don't know. I genuinely don't know what's going to happen.
Or so 30 minutes. One or the other.
Live is dynamic.
But if you want to just clear off as well, I would well understand. But I'll see you three in a minute. And thank you to all of you who made comments. Really appreciate it. Bye bye.
Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.